Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Today, a pair of terrific singers from two ends of the musical spectrum. Prairie Village native Joyce DiDonato is a Grammy winner and travels the world performing in opera houses far and wide as one of this planet's best-loved mezzos. She joins us in just a little bit. Karen Ellison, meantime, hails from western Kansas, Great Bend to be exact, and can look back on a career that's been on a steady rise to stardom and Grammy nominations. Today, she's recognized as one of the top jazz vocalists in the world. In fact, Downbeat magazine just ranked her as the seventh best jazz vocalist on the planet in its annual critics poll ahead of Diana Krall. Her home base during her rise was right here in Kansas City, and Karen Ellison is performing in town this week. She joined us on Monday. Here's a little sample of a Karen Ellison tune. This is All You Need to Say, Never Say Yes, from her 2006 album, Footprints.
When some girl asks for your number, never say yes. If by chance a bold advance you have to address, you can say you're not interested, and you won't be persuaded even if your will is tested. And if she should tempt you with a tender caress, tell her you're an introvert, but never say yes. 'Cause my love's real, and asked if that's how you feel. Yes is all you need to say.
Damn, you're good.
Oh, you're nice. Thank
Welcome
you.
Back to your hometown.
Thank you.
It's so good to hear you in my headphones, too. I love listening to you.
Thank you, Steve.
What an amazing thing. How's the old hometown looking these days?
Very good. I just got here, and we were in Topeka, you know, recently and played there and had a beautiful concert. And so coming into Kansas City always feels like I've almost never left, except, you know, when you see downtown, how everything's changed downtown.
Not bad,
so,
eh?
Yeah, it looks
we're
good.
We're coming.
Yes.
We're coming. Yeah.
You Kauffman once Center said, ain't bad either.
Not bad, eh? Yeah.
Yeah.
You once said, I came across this weekend, that people can't believe how much personal drive it takes to be a jazz singer and a recording artist these days. What do you mean by that?
I mean if I didn't have a lot of drive myself, I'd probably be sitting twiddling my thumbs somewhere in Great Bend, perhaps. I'm not sure. Nothing wrong with that. But I think it takes that kind of drive to keep pushing forward. And nobody is going to do it for you, so you have to have it within yourself.
You know, I don't know you that well, but I've always sensed, just from watching you perform, that you've got that drive, that you push pretty hard. And again, I don't know you. I'm just assuming. Am I right?
I push pretty hard. I mean, I hope in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you got to do it.
You have to do it. I tell people all the time when they ask me, how people who are up and coming or whatever, how should I proceed? And I said, look, you got to have it within yourself first. Don't depend on other people to do it for you. I mean, you surround yourself. I surround myself with the best players, for one thing.
Yeah.
And my family, of course, and Bill and everything. So that
Bill
helps,
McLaughlin,
too.
The former director of the symphony here.
That's
yeah.
right. Mm-hmm.
But
so
you got to do it yourself.
Matters. You have to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me take a stab at something else here. You know, I just was wondering, the Downbeat poll just came out. It's critics poll, and you finished seventh on the planet in the category of best female vocalist. You've been ranked in the top slots in these polls for years, and I'm wondering, does it ever bother you that you can't crack the top three?
It's funny, you know, I just was made aware of that poll last week. I didn't even know it was around, but the time before that, I was actually rated the best up and rising star.
Yes, you were.
Now, that to me that's funny in a way. I think, well, where the hell have I been?
That was a year ago. You're rising star and Downbeat. You've been around forever.
I know. Yeah. But in a way, it's a big compliment because, you know, I do keep striving. I have new recordings coming out, which we'll talk about, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But, so it's good to still be on the, I know, up and up. Better than the alternative.
However they choose the category.
Yeah, why not? I don't care.
Well, how gratifying is it to be ranked number seven by the critics, not just the fans, but the critics, in a poll in a magazine as prestigious as Downbeat? Because That ain't bad, Karn.
No, I'm happy to be, you know, in people's thoughts, basically. So yeah. It's great. It's an honor.
Yeah. This weekend, you're giving a TED talk at UMKC, TED being this group that, you know, gathers cutting-edge thinkers and performers and entrepreneurs to offer some insights into the world around us. What are you going to talk about? You know, what insights are you going to bestow upon the rest of the world here?
Well, my hope is to I'm actually going to be playing too. And they when I did, you know, you do this Skype example talk with them, and I sort of said did my spiel, my script, and I said, and I'll insert a song or two here. And they basically said at the end, they said, "We want you to talk less and play more." So I said, okay, actually, I can do that. You know, that I know how to do. But I think a lot of it is it's a personal drive and gratification with making a life and not just a living. And that's really the important thing I feel that I can offer to people.
What's the difference?
For me, living an artful life is trying to really put the best I can with a lot of love and spirit in my playing, and more that, you know, as you grow in this life to everyday dealings with people. So I don't know if that makes any sense, but it's really it's a very gratifying way to live. It ain't for the faint of heart. You know,
what sense?
Well, it's a hard road. It's you know, life on the road is difficult.
Ups and downs, good shows
tired,
and not so good
shows.
Yeah,
and the best thing about it is the music and the people. You know, the other part that many people have been said to have said this, but Clark Terry, my recollection is him saying, "We don't pay us to play; they pay us to travel." So, you know, it's just it's just hotels and airports and like that. But then I get to meet folks like you and folks on the road, and it makes it really worthwhile.
Oh, that's great. Let's listen to some more Karn Allison. Here's Give Me a Break from the disc Footprints.
Was a man that I knew. Tell me, who is this new guy? Did he give me the shake? Give me a break. He wants this, he wants that. He's a brat, and he knows it. I bet all I can take, give me a break. When I think of the way he used to make my life with him so trouble-free, it's now clear to see there's no guarantee what will be. He's a fool, but I find I don't mind, 'cause I love him. Oh, for sanity's sake, give me a break.
Again, that's Karn Allison. That's Give Me a Break from Footprints. And is it hard for you to listen to yourself? Because I know some artists find it, you know, it is difficult, and others aren't so concerned. How is it for you?
Well, I don't really love it. I certainly don't sit around and listen to myself. You can learn a lot, and it's a very good idea to listen to yourself to you know, think about the future and what you like and what's not working so well. But you do have to let it go after a while. You have to do your homework, just like you do in your field.
Yeah.
And then once you get up there on stage and you're working, you have to let it go. And the trust that you have with your players is such a big part of that. And the you know, reciprocal feelings you're getting from the listeners.
You tossed out a clunker, you just got to sort of
move on. Yeah.
It does take sort of a leap of faith to sit down at night. I do it myself, not that it's the same thing as what you do, but listen to yourself on the air, and sometimes you're like, God, what are you thinking, kid?
It's artistic what you're doing, and you're you know, trying to be honest, you know, keep it real. And so part of being real is being able to let it go, too, I think.
Yeah. What do you love about jazz? What drives you nuts about jazz?
In a good way.
Yeah. Or maybe not.
Well, what really captivates me about jazz, first of all, is improvisation is one thing, because that's that's really the best thing, the thing about jazz that makes it what it is. Also, I love the fact that it breathes, you know, with rhythm, with heart, with soul. It's never the same twice. You might have a, you know, basic map, but you get from point A to point B, and how you get there, the journey is really up to you. And you know, you hope that you end up in a good place together at the end, you know, but
you hope,
but you know, maybe not. And humor, you know, and heartfeltness. That's, I love all that about jazz, and the intellect too, because you really have to keep on your toes with it.
Yeah, every once in a while, I think it's coming. It's coming back. You know, you played Prairie Village Jazz Festival a year ago. Big crowd again this year, even though 95, 98 degree weather that day. By the end of the evening, that hillside was absolutely packed in suburban Kansas City.
Yeah.
Not bad.
No, it was. I remember that being a very lovely evening.
And yeah,
playing the Kaufman last December for the Christmas program with Carrie Strayer and the big band, and had a great crowd there too. And I don't think when people broach this subject, jazz is never going anywhere. It's here to stay. It's a matter of keeping it alive and passing it on.
Yep. You know, you'll be back in Kansas City this winter, March 22nd to be exact, at the Gem Theater in the 18th and Vine District. You're performing with just an amazing group, the Newport 60th Anniversary Tour. It features Annette Cohen, Randy Brecker, Mark Whitfield, pianist Peter Martin, drummer Clarence Penn, and bassist Larry Grenadier, all A-list players.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad company. How do you get hooked up with something like the Newport 60th Anniversary Tour? That's
a
big deal.
It is a big deal. And, you know, I've never played the Newport Festival, but we will be with this band, of
you
course.
You better be.
But yeah, you think so. But George Ween, the founder of the Newport Festival and so many other, you know.
A legend in the business.
Has become supportive of me, I guess.
That's and a good person to have in your corner, Karn. Yep. Yeah.
And so I feel really cool. And also his partner, Danny Melnick, I got to say, he's the one to turn me on to, or George on to me. So that's how we were put together. You know, it was nothing that either one of us said, I'd like to work with this person, blah, blah, blah. But I love Anat Cohen. She and I have become acquainted recently, and she's just a great player. And she's kind of the musical director.
Clarinetist, right?
Clarinetist mostly also.
So unusual in jazz, but very prominent in the field right now.
She's, really, really hitting it beautifully. And is very versatile in her playing. And of course, Randy Brecker, you know, he's just the greatest. Love him. And the rest of the band, it's going to be killer band.
So you know them all?
I'm getting to know them all. Yeah, we
are. You already rehearsing?
We rehearsed once and did some kind of a EPK kind of a thing, you know, electronic press kit that's going to be out and about. But so I'm getting to know them. Mm-hmm. I know Mark a little bit from, he used to play with some folks I know. Yeah, I know him here and there. And I played with Randy before.
You know, do you feel right now that your standing in the jazz world is sort of what you think it ought to be? Have you reached the point where, you know, you're standing at a place where you think you deserve to be?
Wow. I guess so. Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah. I mean,
Newport 60th Anniversary Tour.
Yeah, I think exciting things are coming and in the works. And again, something like the Newport thing, I had nothing to do with directly becoming involved. They asked me. But the other parts of my life, you know, I have most to do with. And I'm, you know, always looking forward to making new music, and I'm doing more writing now. And so that's exciting. And always working on my piano playing too. And
You're playing more in your concerts than you used to because?
Because, let's see. Well, that's a good question. One thing I really like, and I mean, I always used to play one or two during a concert, and I used to travel mostly with a quintet. So I got such good feedback for one. And I don't play like Bruce Barth, who we just heard on his fabulous playing on Footprints, or Paul Smith or Laura Caviani or James Williams.
Yeah.
I accompany myself. And so, you know, you choose what you do. And if I'm standing up, I'm going to do a bebop tune. I'm not going to sit down and play a bebop tune for me. But I don't know. It's a very personal approach, and I enjoy it very much. piano was my first instrument, so, mm-hmm. you know, it just makes sense to make use of it.
And you're writing more now. Why? And what are you writing? What are you going after?
It's just this thing. I have this desire to put some stuff down that I've written. I've always had smatterings of original songs here and there.
Stashed here and there, yeah. All over the place.
And some of them are going to be out on this holiday CD, which is out November 1st. But most of them are going to come out as non-holiday, of course. And also, it's not real. Some of it isn't jazz. It's R&B, more pop, crossover, if you will. But it's adult stuff. It's not candy stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's gotten chilly outside, which is a mm-hmm. reminder that it's getting colder, which reminds me, you just mentioned your Christmas album, mm-hmm. Yuletide
Hideaway
mm-hmm. coming out November 1st. Mm-hmm. Tell us about it.
Yeah. Yuletide Hideaway is actually my original with my friend Chris Caswell. And his lyrics we were just hearing, too, on Footprints. He wrote the lyrics to these instrumentals like Footprints and Never Say Yes. But he and I have become – one of the reasons I'm writing more is because he's been so encouraging. He lives in L.A. and I'm in New York. But we still collaborate and work together. And he's very encouraging with writing songs, for me writing songs with him. So he and I wrote this we wrote the title track, Yuletide Hideaway, which is not what we're going to hear now, I don't think. But
we're going to hear Winter Oasis.
Winter Oasis, two kind of imagery type songs. This is his tune with his daughter, Aubrey. And I just thought it was a lovely thing. So, and this is not mixed or mastered. You guys are hearing this for the first. Nobody's ever heard this before, so this is exciting.
The world debut of Karen Allison's yeah. Yuletide Hideaway. Let's listen to Winter Oasis.
Festive carols fill the air, the sidewalk shoppers everywhere. Soon I find my mind's at ease, lost in my memory. Scent of pine on starry nights, the city lined in colored lights, and once again it's clear to me just where I want to be. When I'm on my way back home to celebrate, another year's gone by and I can hardly wait. It's what every dreamer chases, what the child in us embraces. It's the winter oasis for the heart. It only seems like yesterday when reindeer fools whirled Santa's sleigh. And gifts were left beneath the tree and love sparked the fantasy. The sun goes up and comes back down. The circle keeps on spinning round. And as tomorrow reveals its plan, we hold on to what we can. While I'm on my way back home to celebrate, another year's gone. It's what every dreamer chases, what the child in us embraces. It's a winter oasis for the heart.
Man, that's terrific. Karen Allison singing Winter Oasis from the forthcoming disc, Yuletide Hideaway, and wow.
Isn't it a pretty little tune?
Really pretty little tune.
My friends wrote that, and I just thought, what a little gem, you know. And talking about letting it go, I mean, as I mentioned to you, it's not mixed or mastered, and I'm going to sing it over, so it's not even the real vocal.
Oh, really? Why not this one?
Well, when we were doing it in the studio, it's kind of a long story, but we only had, if you can believe it, we did 19 songs in 1.5 days in the studio because we lost a day for some reasons, but it was already a tight schedule. So your first priority is to get the instrumental stuff down, and yeah. I can always re-sing stuff if I need to. So that's what I'm probably going to do. I just want to sound as fresh as possible, you know.
So that was a rough draft.
That was a rough track, yeah. That one.
I couldn't tell it was a rough draft.
Well, you would have if I had chosen something else.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, I'm going to add harmonies, and there's going to be a celeste solo, and it's really, it's exciting because it's new stuff.
But I like that version. So why not? I mean, I like that one.
Well, it's not impossible that, okay, I'll put your vote in. It's not impossible that we won't use it. It's just, but I'm probably going to sing it over and see if it works better than that one.
Who decides, you or somebody else?
Well, in this case, it'll be me, and Bill will be in this, mixing it with
your husband.
Yeah.
Again. Yeah.
And the engineer.
Bill still offers advice and
absolutely.
Where we got to be, where he thinks you ought to be.
Yeah. Well, yeah, not, yes, he's a huge confidant, mm-hmm. and he's got such a great heart and mind. That, you know, and he wants the best for me as I want the best for him. So that's the way it works.
Karen Allison's our guest from Kansas City. Spent a lot of time in Kansas City. We're visiting with her. She performs this week in town for a number of different events, including giving a TEDx UMKC talk coming up here this week. And she'll perform in Kansas City again in March as part of the Newport 60th anniversary tour. Why did you come to Kansas City to begin with? And remind us how long you were here.
I was here for 10 years.
Yeah.
And I first came because my uncle owned the Phoenix. Ron Schoonover, so it was nepotism. My grandfather.
Not a bad thing.
Yeah,
sometimes.
My dad's brother owned the Phoenix. And my grandfather told Ron, said, you might want to hire her. She sounded, my grandpa is so cute. And so I came down. I was living in Minneapolis at the time. I'm from Omaha originally, but also lived in Kansas City earlier on, long story. But so that's why I really came. I came down to do a night to sub for Tim Whitmer.
Yeah,
and
still here,
absolutely.
And great and fun to have.
On the early shift, and you know, there was music there from 5 till 2 in the morning. You know, they had 3 bands, including the Scamps and just wonderful people.
I miss the Scamps.
I do, too.
I miss that.
Speedy Huggins.
That gritty Kansas City thing, which
Rusty Tucker,
it's gone. I think I worry that it's gone forever now.
Yeah, well, it's not gone forever. It's just transforming.
Well, I get that.
Yeah, I know.
But
I know what
that
you're saying.
Sound,
though.
That
there's certain people you can't replace.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And sounds. But their spirits live on.
Absolutely.
I'm sure. I can still see them in my
face
right
me
now,
too.
Mine right now. But that's why I first came and then ended up just falling in love with the scene. And it was a very vibrant scene. And we were a big part of that scene at the time. I was working, 7 days a week, 2 gigs a day sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Plaza, City Lights, Jardines, of course, Phoenix, so many places.
Did you meet Bill here?
Yes. He was a conductor of the Kansas City Symphony.
How did you meet?
Well, he's a jazz fan, and I'm a class. I was my first love was classical piano. That was my major in college. And so he came to a performance of ours, and somebody introduced us. And so he invited me to a matinee concert.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the gig, the Kansas City Symphony gig, and just was so happy to have classical music back in my life again, or, at least for that afternoon. And then I went and thanked him and asked him out for coffee, and that was it.
You asked him out?
Yes.
You go, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it worked out.
Yeah, it worked out.
It's been a long time now.
Mm, 22 years.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. Yeah. Do you know, we're taping this conversation with Karen Allison on Monday. This is airing Tuesday. Do you know Joyce DiDonato?
Have you met?
You need to know her.
Well, I heard her at the Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
I was nominated the same year that she won hers. So she performed in the pre-televised blah part,
right.
Which is where classical music and jazz and
is
gospel
relegated to.
Yeah. And she performed, and she just tore the house down. She's fabulous. So good for her.
I think you two would like. She is just salt of the earth.
Yeah, I got
what
that.
What you see is what you
day.
Get, and it's like it's what a delight to spend some time. Yeah, you always think of the classical thing as you got to straighten your collar up and everything else, and she's just not like that.
No, she's one of us.
So she's one of us. Yeah, it is so good to have you here.
Thank you. It's great to talk
always
with
a pleasure,
you.
Karen.
You're fabulous to talk to. It.
Let's listen to Karen Allison. One of my favorite cuts that she's done. April Comes She Will. This is a Paul Simon track from which?
From Around Midnight.
From Around Midnight. Mm-hmm. Okay. Karen Allison. Mm-hmm.
streams of ripe and swell with grain. May she will stay, resting in my arms again. Restless streets she'll prowl the night. July she will fly and give no warning to her flight.
Coming up, Joyce DiDonato, another singer with Kansas City roots, hers from Prairie Village. That'll be after a break, and I'll say hi to her for you.
Please do. I'm a huge fan.
I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR.